Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 8. I am Mercules, your host, as always, with Kit Kutcha and NK Cougar. And how are you guys doing on this fine Monday evening?
I'm doing great.
Well, Cougar's doing great. How are you doing, Kit?
I am doing fantastic. All of our technology is working perfectly. We didn't experience any glitches today.
Yeah. And we'll hopefully be able to maintain that great luck all the way through the entire recording, because Kit is set up in a nice fancy podcasting studio for tonight. So he's making all of us look bad with my Rosetta Stone headset on, and I don't even know what Cougar's using. I assume something equally fancy. But
Cougar's got two potatoes on a wire hanging on top of his head.
They're cabbages, thank you very much.
Cabbages, yeah. So we are here on the week following the Destiny Community Convention that was down in Tampa. I sadly did not get to go to that, even though I only live a few hours north. I really thought about it. I was going to wear a little name tag that said Mercules 904 and see if anyone recognized me at all, or see if I just blended into the convention. But my girlfriend bailed on me to go to work, and I didn't really want to go down by myself because, you know, I didn't want to pay for a hotel room and everything like that. But I heard very, very good things about it. I was actually listening to the Crucible Radio podcast that they put out, I believe today, and it seemed like it was a ton of fun. So maybe that's something that we need to plan on trying to go to next year. Set up a little booth that says Massive Breakdown, right?
Yeah.
And I'd be see how fancy it. We can make it. I think it'd be fun, honestly.
I don't spend enough time in Florida, or, you know, within 500 miles of the ocean, for that matter.
Yeah, but the ocean is very nice. I like the ocean a lot. And Florida itself is not the worst place in the world, I suppose. No. We have our share of strange news that comes out of here, but it's not too bad. Yeah, but so this is episode 8, and enough small talk, and we are going to be talking about something that a couple of people from the community actually requested last week when we were asking for topics people would like to hear about, and coincidentally it worked out because we were planning on doing it anyway, so it's a nice coinciding of like interest, and we're going to be talking about scout rifles today.
Yeah.
Specifically high impact, a little bit of low impact. We're going to throw the Mida in there since it's basically the only weapon in its archetype. And we're going to be basically ignoring those god-awful mid-impact scout rifles since they are pretty much useless in PvP at this exact point in time. But yeah, I think we've got a good show laid out. For me personally, this is the one I've been waiting for, because high-impact pulse rifles are my bread and butter in the Crucible. It's what I always use. And I actually took a DIS-47 out of my vault with full auto, small bore, and I think something like fitted stock. And I've been using that the last couple of days, and that is a blast as well. And I know Cougar's going to be excited to talk about those, because he loves him some NL Shadow with explosive rounds. So
that is correct.
We got lots of personal interest coinciding in this episode. But just like every episode we do a breakdown, we'll start off with an overview of the entire weapon class as a whole. Scout rifles are pretty easy. They're not very complicated. They're one of the classes that I think is best balanced in Destiny right now, and it shows based on the fact that they have undergone practically no changes since day one in Destiny. They've become more powerful as the meta has progressed because of changes to other weapon classes, but on the whole, they've really not been touched that much, and they haven't needed to be touched. They serve their role as a long-distance marksman weapon, and they serve that role very, very well. You've got the high-impact class at the top, which is the high-risk, high-reward class. It's 3 headshot time to kill is 0.8 seconds, incredibly fast, among the fastest in the games for primaries. But if you miss one shot, you're already down at 1.2 seconds, which is bordering on way too slow for body shot time to kill. And if you hit all body shots, 5 body shots, it's 1.6 seconds, which is absurdly poor, like the farthest far end of the spectrum. It's one of the slowest body shot times to kill in the game. So if you're a precise marksman, if you're good with hitting your headshots, it's a fantastic weapon. If you're not, it's going to be probably the worst weapon you can choose to use. It is not forgiving. And I like that because it's exactly the way, in my opinion, that a high-impact weapon should be. High risk, high reward. You're great with it, you'll do well with it. You're bad with it, don't even use it. Moving down, we've got the mid-impact class. And the mid-impact class is actually very, very popular in PvE, thanks in large part to the God Roll Hung Jury that the Dead Orbit vendors sold way back in the Taken King's original edition. And they're not great in PvP. The base time to kill is 1 second flat, and it's just too slow to be competitive. It takes four shots, and thankfully it's not four crits. It's two crits and two bodies. So it's one of the more forgiving weapon archetypes in the game. And I actually recommend them to people at really low levels when they're learning to use scout rifles. When they're first picking up a scout rifle, they've never touched the Mida before. They've never tried playing with a scout rifle before. I say, you know what? Go try out the Hung Jerry, because you only need two headshots. You only need two body shots. You know, at high levels, it's not going to be competitive. But in terms of getting that pacing down for scout rifles, they're really, really useful. And so I think that they're actually balanced. Even though they're not competitive, I actually think they're balanced because they're easy to use, but they're not good. And I think that's another thing. And then down beneath that, we've got the Mida archetype, of which there's only one example, legendary or higher, in the current Crucible. But we know for a fact we have at least one coming to us with Rise of Iron, which I'm excited about. The Mida archetype has a 0.9 second time to kill. It takes three crits and one body, so it's relatively forgiving. It's more forgiving than high impact. It's less forgiving than mid impact. And then we have the low impact archetype, which I believe takes four crits and a body shot to get its optimal time to kill of 0.93 seconds. And 0.93 seconds is verging on pretty slow for competitive time to kills. It's still kind of there, but it's not great. But they're still relatively competitive because, you know, you've got the 0.93 second time to kill, but that 0.93 second stretches all the way out to basically the farthest reaches of the map. So like an auto rifle, high impact auto rifles, you're saying, well, they have a 0.93 second time to kill and they're not competitive. Well, they can only kill 0.93 seconds directly in front of you, you know, and a DIS-47 can kill 0.93 seconds all the way down to sniper land. So it's kind of how you use the weapon that makes it a little bit more competitive with a similar time to kill. But overall, like I said, I think that the scout rifle class as a whole is very, very well balanced, just in general.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We've got a lot of different variety, a lot of different options. One thing I do want to point out, you know, those mid-impact scout rifles, like you said, are not competitive in PvP right now, but a lot of those guns are fantastic in PvE. So if you have that Hung Jury, if you have the Tuonela, which is the Gunsmith version, you've got the Lethe Noblesse from Prison of Elders, Suros DIS-43, also from the Gunsmith. Even the Doom of Chalchis, or Chalchis, I don't know what you want to... Chachis, the Doom of Chachis from the King's Fall Raid. Those guns, while they're not fantastic in any way, they're so easy to use. In PvE, it's so hard to miss shots with them. You just point and shoot. That's all there is to it. It's great, like you said, for getting used to scout rifles as a class.
Yeah, they're a good mix of impact and rate of fire. And, you know, we should mention, I guess, technically that the Tlaloc is in that mid-impact class, but the reason you see that so much in the Crucible is because it speeds up its rate of fire, basically. So it still does the same damage as like a Hung Jerry, but it has a much faster rate of fire as long as you have your super up. And the Touch of Malice, which is actually in the DIS-47, that low impact class, when you're on the last bullet, it actually bumps it up to the Hung Jerry's damage. So something fun to do if you're running maybe a Ram Log or a Max Armor Titan, something that's got a lot of base health. You can actually run the Touch of Malice, go down to the last bullet, and you can shoot it as fast as a DIS-47, but it does 61 damage per headshot, 41 damage per body shot. So you can really, really surprise people because they never expect to see, you know, a Touch of Malice. And granted, you basically have to hope they miss a shot because you're going to be eating away at your own health while you do it. But if you kill them in four shots with, you know, a weapon with a rate of fire as fast as DIS-47, it's really, really fun. I've done that in Rift a fair few number of times and greatly enjoyed myself. But again, I was running a Ram Lock, and then I did it again on my Titan with max armor too. So it wasn't like I was doing it on, you know, a mid-armor hunter where I'm basically suicide running into an engagement like that. But yeah, so where do we want to start? We want to start with the high-impact ones, get those out of the way.
Let's do that. Let's start with high-impact. High-impact is the largest one that we're going to talk about with five weapons, and I think several of them are excellent choices, very viable choices for PvP.
All right, well, do you want to start then, Cougar?
I will. So we'll go ahead and start. I'm going to list off the weapons that we have. Three of them, actually, my apologies, two of them you can buy on a semi-regular basis. The Last Extremity is always available. The Costatus is usually available. If you pick up the Costatus from the Gunsmith, I think it's been almost every single week that it has an incredible role.
At least decent, for sure. There's been a lot of, at least functional roles that you could pick up.
Yes. And very much. The only problem is these are Omalon scouts. They have terrible perk trees. So if you can get lucky and grab the others, I'd probably recommend them over them. Kit, did you want to talk about the Hand of Judgment in particular?
Sure. So, this is a gun that, to be completely honest, I had overlooked until I started doing a little bit of research for this episode. I overlooked it in large part because I overlooked this entire impact class, mostly because I'm just terrible with them. But just taking a look at raw stats, just the raw abilities that you have on these guns. The Hand of Judgment really jumped out at me as kind of an obvious pick. Here's why. So it's got roughly the same range as the rest of them at 76. You've got a reload speed though at 62, which is above and beyond what you've got on any of the other guns. And then you've got a mag size of 15, which is right at the top end for these guns. And then what really jumped out at me is that aim assist of 50, which is a full 11 points higher than the base aim assist for the Cocytus or the Badger, which are the two next ones down. And for a gun that, basically demands critical shots, precision shots. I mean, I don't know what other stat you could prioritize ahead of that, aside from stability. And that's where the trade-off is, admittedly. You've only got 24 base stability, which is terrible. Very bad. But stability is one of the easiest stats to boost, while aim assist is one of the hardest. You can't pull that much aim assist out of one of these guns very easily. But the Hand of Judgment has a perk tree that is going to give you basically a 100% chance of rolling some kind of a stability boost. You've got one of your perk slots. I'm looking at it right now. It has four options that you could roll in this perk slot. You could get Perfect Balance, which is fantastic. You could get Braced Frame, which is even better. You could get Hand-Laid Stock, which is a fantastic trade. Or worst case scenario, you get Small Bore, which is still, a decent stability bump. I guess I don't know what else to say about it beyond that. It's stacked. It's got the best base stat profile. So yeah, if you guys want to jump in, if you disagree, agree.
I do agree. Sorry, I'm jumping in real quick.
Go
I
for it.
just wanted to add on to your point about aim assist. The red dot OAS will boost that by a further 14 to bring it up to 64. And if I recall correctly, Hidden Hand is a 15% boost from the base aim assist.
That's what we're operating under the assumption of. Yeah, I can't.
Not for sure. We'll operate under it
Can't
though.
validate that, yeah.
I thought OAS only boosted the aim assist by 5. That's all that sights boost it by, as far
You're
as I know.
completely correct. It boosts it by 5 and it boosts the stability by 14.
Oh, there we go. Oh, well, that's
So,
fantastic. That's friggin'
yeah, you get to
ridiculously
make up for that
fantastic.
lost stability from
Yeah.
the base stats, at least.
OAS is far and away the absolute best possible sight you could have on that gun. If you've got that gun with OAS and like hand laid stock and oh my god, it's I wish I could have one drop so that I could talk about it from firsthand experience because I've known ever since I started doing these weapon breakdowns that the Hand of Judgment was the gun that I wanted. But I have had no such luck. I leveled up a House of Judgment again this week and I was given a nice cloak for my reward, so.
That was what both of mine did.
Obviously,
Still.
I promptly hurled my controller into the screen and now I have to buy a new TV.
Understandable.
So I was just taking a look at the end of the perk tree here to see what that third column gives you. And my friggin' traveler above, or I don't know, what do we swear by in Destiny? It doesn't really fucking matter.
Oryx.
Stacked as well. Yeah, orcs below, man. That sounds completely ridiculous. Edit that out, Hercules. So anyway, point being that third column also friggin' stacked. You've got a guaranteed you're gonna get one of these perks: Third Eye, Hidden Hand, Life Support, Range Finder, Zen Moment, Eye of the Storm. Arguably, the worst thing that could happen to you is you get Life Support or Range Finder, which, I mean, no one is going to be mad about.
Yeah, it's and even I know people don't like Triple Tap, and Triple Tap doesn't really, really make a huge difference unless you're using Brace Frame or something like that. But Triple Tap's actually pretty nice to have on a high impact scout, because you see it proc so often, because you're going for three crits to get a kill.
Sure.
It's actually nice to go crit, 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 the guy dies and you get a bullet back. It doesn't do very much to help you as a player, but it does give you a brief little moment of feeling good that you just hit three crits fast enough to get triple tap to proc. And it's just, it's stupid, but it's something I like. I used to use guns with Firefly and Triple Tap on purpose when I was warming up, so that I could train myself to be hitting the headshots. Like, I would want to see that perk prop on every single kill that I got. So I actually have a Cocytus with triple tap on it that I use when I'm going through my warm-up games, because I don't have one with Firefly and Handlaid Stock yet, sadly. But so when I'm going through my warm-up games, I'll put on the one with triple tap, just because if I see that perk proccing over and over and over and over again, then I'll know that, like, all right, I'm pretty warmed up now. I'm good to go. Like, I can start running this.
That's a great tip. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And speaking of that, since we're on it, the Cocytus is my favorite gun in the game right now. It is what I main hands down all the time. I have four or five of them with various roles. I have one of them that is a fantastic role, except for it doesn't have hand-laid stock. It's got Torch, which Torch is by far the sight you want for the Cocytus. It's a boost of 5 to aim assist. It's a fantastic open sight. It's got a nice reticle. It's just easy to use. So they've all got Torch. And then I've got one of them that has life support, single point sling, and Firefly. And I like that one, except for it doesn't have that stability perk in the middle tree, and it really does make it more difficult to use. It jumps a noticeable amount. I'd go so far as to say almost twice the vertical displacement of the reticle of one that has handlaid stock, and it gets even worse when you're being hit by someone else. You know, your gun is already jumping up in the air from your own recoil, and then on top of that, you've now got flinch, and it goes even higher. It's just, it's really not worth using in PvP, unfortunately. So my go-to, I've got a couple of them. I've got one with third eye and handlaid stock and triple tap that I really love. I've got one with replenish, which is useless, Zen Moment, and handlaid stock, which is my go-to. Zen Moment is a fantastic, fantastic perk on these. I mean, you will literally notice as you're hitting, by the time you're going for that third shot, your reticle has barely jumped above their head at all. It just doesn't even freaking move if you've got it combined with handlaid stock. So I love the Cocytus. It's absolutely my favorite gun. I recommend it to every single person that is trying to get into high impact scouts, because like you said, Cougar, he's got a great role on it almost every single week. Like, you're pretty much guaranteed a torch, handlaid stock one, and then some good perk on it every single week. So I love that gun.
It's agreed. And if I could jump in real quick, you are right about Torch being the best sight. My second choice for these recommendations that I make every week is usually the Spark. It seems to be Omalon's version of the SLO-19, that very open sight, the vertical profile. So if you don't have the Torch, that would be my second recommendation. If you don't have either, sorry, you're out of luck.
Yep. Because some of those sites are kind of, I don't know, I tried, and I know some people, I don't know, some people swear by a few different ones, but I tried a couple of them, and I just didn't really particularly like any of them. It's always nice when a boost to aim assist coincides with a site that I visually find the most appealing. It didn't work out for me that way in vanilla, because Orez was my favorite site. Orez and ORS1 were my favorite sites, and OAS was the one that gave the boost to aim assist, but you know, it's a little trade-off. It's 5 aim assist, but Orez is still a fantastic site. It's incredibly stable. It gives you great boost to everything. So Orez is still a fantastic site. But it's nice that in my case, Torch lined up perfectly with all the stats that I wanted and a reticle that I enjoy playing with. So I've got tons and tons and tons of clips of me, you know, three-tapping people with the Cocytus, like, back-to-back. And you look at the mag size and you think, well, 13, you know, though that's getting kind of small down there in the terms of, that's not very many bullets, but I actually have a clip somewhere around there where I killed 4 people with one clip on the beginning of Frontier. You know how everyone runs straight to that bridge, especially in Rift, everyone straight to the bridge. And their whole team ran to the bridge, and one of my teammates put two of them low health with a grenade, and I was just over on the side just cleaning them up. Nobody even noticed me. And you know, I only used 12 out of the 13 shots, but I got four people down and got a breaker medal right at the start of a game with a high impact scout rifle. I mean, obviously you run into the issue of you have to play a long game unless you match it with a shotgun because they are not great up close. It is really hard to track a target with a scout rifle when they're right in front. And you trying to spam that trigger when someone's charging you with a shotgun. So if you can, I have a friend recently who's been pairing. He got himself a Hand of Judgment, luckily, but he's been pairing the Hand of Judgment with Plan C, and basically just cleaning up. Anyone gets inside of his scout rifle range, he switches to Plan C and you know disintegrates them. So you're definitely gonna want to be aware of the fact that it's kind of a weird issue. People a lot of the times are running the last word. They're running hand cannons, and then they're pairing it with a sniper. So they've got a primary that's for close range. They've got their secondary that's for long range. When you switch to high impact scouts, your primary is now your long range weapon. You know, you're competing with snipers with your scout rifle, and then your secondary becomes your close range weapon. So anyone who runs, I don't know, like No Land Beyond and a shotgun will find this a really good weapon to use. Anyone who runs, you know, Hawksaw and a shotgun probably will enjoy the fact that they can engage from way longer distances than Hawksaw can and still be really, really effective.
Very much so. So we've covered at this point the Cocytus and the Hand of Judgment, correct?
Yeah, I think Badger kind of lumps in with the Cocytus. Isn't that another Omalon? Or am I misremembering?
No, Badger's one of the year one ones that came
Oh,
back.
that's
Yeah, I was
right.
gonna take the Badger. The other Omalon is Last Extremity, which is much, much poorer than the Cocytus. It's the poor man's Cocytus. I wouldn't use it. It has a stat line of 21 aim assist, 74 base range, 36 stability, and a magazine size of 12. It is Last Extremity. It is a last resort. If you can get one of the other scouts, I would recommend it. And speaking of other scouts, I'm going to jump in with one of the most difficult to get, the Badger CCL. It's one I'm choosing to go with. It comes from Vanguard packages, from ranking up with Vanguard. It's fairly rare. It's fairly difficult to get. It has access to the classic sights, which means in the first column you have options between OES, OAS, ORES, ORS, ORS1, and the focus lens FLS2. So you do have the potential for the best sight in the game in the OAS, or the best range scope in the game in the focus lens FLS2. Second column has the second best range scope, which is the FLA5. It has a boost to aim assist similar to the OAS. The final column has access to true sight, which again is another aim assist boosting sight. And the stat line of this gun reads 77 range, 40 base stability, a magazine size of 14, which is on par with the Cocytus. The aim assist is a little low at 39, same as the Cocytus, 11 lower than the Hand of Judgment, but still enough. And you have access, in my opinion, to a much better stable of perks. This is a classic weapon. In your middle column, you have access to choices between, in the first slot, explosive rounds, perfect balance. Those are two of the five available. In the second slot, you have both brace frame and hand laid stock. My overall recommendation is hand laid stock. You have range in vast excess. You have plenty of it. Sacrificing a little for a massive stability boost is completely worth it. And the last one has small bore, which is a last resort. You don't want small bore. If it's the only thing, you take it. But the Badger CCL has access in the main perk columns to. In the number one perk column, you could get Zen Moment, Life Support, Eye of the Storm, Hot Swap, Crowd Control. And in the third perk column, you can get Third Eye, Reactive Reload, Hidden Hand, and Outlaw. So you have access to really some awesome perk combinations. You could get something like, say, Crowd Control, Reactive Reload, to really just, I believe you can two shot with both active. You've also got access to something, say, like hot swap and third eye, which I actually have on a mid-impact scout rifle, and I think that is an excellent combination of perks. All around, I'd say the Badger rounds out our top three choices. I wouldn't put it at number one. I think that's definitely the Hand of Judgment. But if you happen to pull a Badger from your Vanguard rank up package, give it a shot. It is an overlooked gun purely because of its rarity. But if you happen to get it with one of those rolls, it could be an absolute monster in the Crucible.
Yeah, I would definitely say Hand of Judgment's the best. Badger is the second. Cocytus is the third. I unfortunately have never gotten a Hand of Judgment or a Badger. I wouldn't really expect to get a Badger. I don't rank up Vanguard that often. I actually did it the other night. I decided to just run through some patrols and some strikes just to rank up the Vanguard, just to see if maybe I could get one. I did not. I got a pair of boots. It was very disappointing. So, unfortunately, I don't have either of those, but yeah, I do think those are the two best ones available. And if back to the crowd control reactive reload thing, I don't know if you can two shot full armor guardians with both of them active because I have not actually done the research on those perks and how they stack. But I know that with reactive reload alone, because I did this with the Colovance's duty, with the reactive reload alone, it's one headshot, two body shots for a kill, and with crowd control, it's two headshots, one body shot for a kill. On full armor guardian, so I know those for a fact. Don't know how they combine, but I guess Colovance's Duty was a gun that people were talking about a little while ago because Saladin sold it. I heard a lot of people trying to push the reactive reload perk on it. Honestly, I got one with the reactive reload. Didn't really like it that much. It has really low base aim assist basically, and really low base stability. And reactive reload is nice one out of 20 times that you're in an engagement when it actually comes into play without changing your entire play style basically to just try to focus on reactive reload. I thought Colovance's Duty was much better put to use with maybe Hidden Hand and Zen Moment. A Zen Moment to help out that pretty piss poor base stability of 29 and Hidden Hand to help out the base aim assist of 26. Both of those are, I believe, like the second lowest in the entire archetype.
They are.
So yeah, so it's doesn't have great base stats there. Mag size is pretty nice. Mag size is 16. That's on the bigger end. It does have the ability to roll red dot OAS, which is very, very nice. So if you can get red dot OAS, probably a Zen Moment. Handlaid stock is always my go-to for comp 3 because the thing about high impact scouts is they have so much range, an excess of range. Like I have never in my entire time using high impact scouts, shot someone and had it not do full damage because of damage drop off. It doesn't happen because we don't have First Light in the rotation anymore. We don't have, Bastion and all those big maps. So it just, you're never going to be engaging from distances where you really need the extra range. So I always say hand laid stock because I'd much rather have more shots in the magazine than that extra range. Explosive rounds is okay. Explosive rounds actually makes it to where I believe you can. I don't know. You can. Doesn't it do one extra damage per something? Or did we have this discussion before? Where I think Cougar, did you say it was a rounding thing that it doesn't actually do one extra damage?
Correct.
You're correct. It does not do one extra damage. It is a rounding issue.
All right. Well, there you go. But explosive rounds is still nice to have because you can shake people's screens around, and it basically makes it impossible for them to shoot you back. If you're trying to be a counter sniper and you're using your Colovance's Duty with explosive rounds, you will be an effective counter sniper. But again, red dot OAS is the best sight. You could also get true sight if you're into that type of thing. Zen Moment in column two is probably the best option, but you also have the choice of crowd control, life support, the normal things that are there. And then column three, hand laid stock, brace frames, explosive round, maybe even perfect balance. And then column four, hidden hand, I think is for sure the best option for a Colovance's Duty user. Reactive reload, again, I know some people were pushing it hard. In my time playing with it, I didn't really find it effective at all. I found myself wishing I had more aim assist as bullets whizzed by my enemies' heads without hitting them. And third eye is also in that column. So any one of those, and you'll probably be okay. But hidden hand is, I think, far and away the tier one perk in that situation. I wouldn't really recommend Colovance's Duty though. If you've got a Cocytus, use your Cocytus all day. If all you've got is the last extremity, Colovance might be an upgrade.
Yeah, it would be. I just did the math, and with both crowd control and reactive reload, yes, you are looking at a two shot. Reactive reload on its own, that does mean that. So I want to say reactive reload on its own brings you up to 97 damage. So you're looking at two shotting the lowest armor guardians, I believe.
Yeah, which means you're going to need to be able to stack reload perks probably. If you're actually wanting that to if you're actually wanting that, you're going to need a pair of scout rifle reload gloves probably.
Yeah,
Because they
you would
don't
need
have the
that.
fastest reload speed, base reload speeds.
No, they've got miserable reload speeds.
Speaking of the reload speed, I was just, I've just been looking over Call of Vance's Duty again here because I looked at it earlier, trying to find some redeeming quality to balance out either the terrible base stability or the terrible base aim assist, with those kind of being key stats for these guns. And the only thing I can find is that it has 16 in the mag. I mean, there's nothing redeeming about it compared to the other guns. The recoil direction is not that impressive. It's 76, which is fine, but it's still going to be a little bit diagonal, and it's lower than other guns that we have. It at the same time, it's got, like we mentioned, the worst aim assist you can possibly have, second worst stability, and the gun with the worst stability, the Hand of Judgment, is guaranteed to get a stability boost. This gun, not so much.
And we actually have one more high impact scout rifle, which you guys have one more. I do not have one more. And it
Yes,
looks
it's
like I will not
exclusive.
have one more for about another year, apparently, which is some bullshit, let's be honest. But the Jade Rabbit is also in the high impact archetype. I do not know anything about it. I have never played it. I have never seen it. And it bugs me because I love the high impact archetype and I would love an exotic version of these guns, but it looks like, thanks to Sony putting some money in Activision's pockets, that I will not be able to touch that gun for about another 12 months. So.
And if you would like to hear a little bit of the stats on the Jade Rabbit, I can give you a run through on that real quick. Looking at 94 range, 24 stability, 65 reload, 7 magazine size, which is 11 with extended mag, 75 aim assist, 40 equip speed, 100 recoil direction, 20 zoom. So some pretty underwhelming stats as far as stability goes and the magazine size. Some pretty ridiculous aim assist. And perfect recoil direction. Along with an exotic perk that allows you to gain precision damage and return ammo to the magazine after chaining body shots. It does have Zen Moment to counteract that really just shitty stability, and spray and play, because the mag is so small that you will be reloading after every engagement.
So the Jade Rabbit's a weird gun. I got it almost right away in the Taken King, and I tried it for a little bit, and I couldn't figure it out at the time. And looking back, part of the problem is that, again, I'm terrible with high impact scouts. But the other problem is that it was hard to figure out how to make that exotic perk rewarding. And basically what you need to know there, I believe if you chain at least three body shots in between every headshot, you can actually have infinite ammo. So you'll never run out of
Correct.
ammunition. The problem, as far as anybody who's interested in these weapons for PvP, is that that's completely worthless. It's I mean
Yeah, it defeats the entire
it's
purpose.
utterly 100% a PvE DPS gun, and really not even that good of a DPS gun because you have to hit body shots. So I don't really know what role Bungie had pictured it in. I guess you could use it for ad cleanup, right? It does. Can high impact body most like dregs, for example? You guys who play with them a little more than me.
Mercules, this is your realm of expertise. I've actually never shot a drag in the body with a high impact scout rifle.
No, I don't think it'll kill like highest level dregs with one shot to the body. It'll kill them with one shot to the head, as far as I know, and it'll two shot vandals to the head, but I don't think it kills them in. At least it didn't when I was running Challenge of the Elders the other night, so.
Okay, so basically 100% worthless as far as I'm concerned. it doesn't serve any meaningful role in the game.
Really, all it does is allow continuous DPS.
All right, so moving on, the Jade Rabbit is the last of the high impact scouts we're going to talk about. We're going to go straight down the impact list to the Mida Multitool, which, as anybody full well knows, is currently one of the more popular guns in the Crucible PvP meta. It sat atop the list for a while, probably back before they nerfed the intrinsic high caliber rounds perk that it had. But it's slowly falling from grace a little bit in really high level gameplay due to the emergence of the mid impact hand cannon meta. But the Mida Multitool is still a very, 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 very good gun. It is one of two guns I recommend that every single player should have, the other being the Hawksaw. But the Mida Multitool, number one, has the fantastic base aim assist of 90, which actually, depending on which barrel mod you use, can go up to 100 if you really want to be a jerk and get all the bullet magnetism. It's got a tremendous mag size of 21. It's got the fastest reload speed in the game of 100. It has pretty good stability for, you know, for a scout rifle at 49. And the only thing it really doesn't have that's great is the range, which, who cares? It's a scout rifle. Your range is basically, you know, you've got all the range you need for any of the given maps that we have. On top of that, increases your agility. Pair it with Radiant Dance Machines like Cougar was talking about earlier, and just run all over the map and kill everyone. And on top of that, it's three crits in one body to get the optimal time to kill. You don't even have to hit all crits. So the Mida is one of the most forgiving weapons in the game right now. It is extremely, extremely, extremely good in most casual Crucible, and even in relatively competitive Crucible if you pair it with a shotgun. It is just very, very, very good. It's a strong weapon all around. You know, and it's got that super distinctive, like, paintball sounding shot when it's fired. So you know when someone's killing you with a Mida too.
It's a gun that I've underused, again, because I just am not that into scouts. I'm totally a pulse rifle, hand cannon guy. But I took it out earlier this evening just, you know, to see how it felt. And got 25 kills in a rift match. You know, without even really working that hard. That was my warm-up match, and I was just like, oh, this gun's pretty good. So, I mean, kind of back up the hype train there, I guess. Just it lives up to it. It's so easy to land shots. I can't say anything else about it. It doesn't really, you can't really build it wrong. Choose whatever perks you like. I don't care.
The Mida is hands down, I can talk about the Mida all day. I've been running it since year one. This weekend, since I've been doing carries all weekend, the Mida has not left my primary slot. It really is. It's meta for a reason. It's one of the top five most used guns in the game for a reason. It is, in my opinion, I think it's the best gun in the game, period. You can cover nearly every range except for the range that your secondary should cover. You can counter snipe incredibly effectively. You cover the map more quickly than any other player in the game can. Using a Mida with the Twilight Garrison, Titan Skating is the fastest form movement in a game. You fly across the map. Even Warlocks move quickly, and my Warlock is a fluffy little, you know what. You know, he can't move. He's like the Pillsbury Doughboy. But the Mida turns him into Usain Bolt. It, like you said, it is three headshots, one body shot. I actually didn't know that because the aim assist is so flippin' ridiculous that all I do is go for headshots. You can be somewhere near their head, aiming in the same general direction as their head. You'll probably hit their head. The Mida doesn't get a lot of use in Cabal PvE because of this aim assist. You can try to shoot the hand of a phalanx around the side of the shield to stagger it. Your bullets will land in the middle of the shield because of that ridiculous aim assist. I mean, the Mida is a gun that lends itself to really teaching you how to play the game at a high level.
Yep, it's extremely forgiving. It's that perfect intersection of where a gun can kill you very fast and it's not very difficult to get that optimal kill. You know, other guns, are very difficult to get the optimal kill. For instance, the high impact ones. It's pretty difficult to get 3-shot headshots consistently on people that are moving, jumping, shooting back. It's pretty difficult. The Mida, it doesn't kill as fast, but it's not really that difficult to do. You can break out the Mida in 1 or 2 games to just try it out and warm up, and you're probably good to go. It's a very it holds your hand. It holds your hand the entire time. So you can't really go wrong. If you want to get into scouts, you can't really go wrong with a Mida. That's probably your best bet right there. And it's the only one in its archetype too. Even though realistically, when a legendary does come out, what makes the Mida so good is that absurd amount of aim assist that has high magazine size. The mobility perk. If you cut the Mida's aim assist in half, I don't think you'd see nearly as many people using it, because then it wouldn't be nearly as forgiving. So we'll see what aim assist the new one comes out with when they drop it, but I don't think it's going to be a good substitute for Mida, really.
No, I don't think there's any replacing the Mida, and I do agree, it's the aim assist. The aim assist really just it makes the gun.
And now, since we have nothing else in that since we have nothing else in that archetype, we can move on down to the low impact archetype, or the very low impact archetype. There's only 3 legendary weapons in this archetype. Sura's DIS-47, which is obviously from the Gunsmith, the Inward Lamp, which is a Trials of Osiris reward, and the NL Shadow 701X, which is a random drop from the Crucible that you will somewhat remember from having the exact same design as the Fang of Eriute, I believe. Was that the raid scout from the Crota's End raid? That's got like
I believe
the
so,
teeth
yes.
coming off of it and everything. Yeah, and it people complained about that a little bit when it first came out. They didn't like the fact that it had the exact same design as the raid one, but it was for some reason bright orange. But I've never found anything wrong with that. So the DIS-47 is actually a gun I've been using a lot of the last couple of days. I was planning to do a text and video review for Planet Destiny. Well, video for me, text for them. But I've been using it with full auto, which I know Kid is going to have something to say about that, because he does not recommend full auto on these scout rifles, but I do because the rate of fire is actually really fast. It's really fast on these scout rifles. It is very hard, at least for me, to maintain the optimal rate of fire during an entire engagement with the DIS-47. So I like full auto as the perk to go on my DIS-47, and then it needs probably stability perks for the other ones. So the exact model I've got is a fitted stock small bore full auto and the SPO-28 sight, which is the aim assist boosting sight. And I love it. It's fantastic. 4 crits in a body gets you that optimal time to kill. You can really reach out and touch the mite. And the fantastic thing about it is because it's a scout rifle with a high rate of fire, you do some really, really crazy flinch to your opponents who are playing against you. You're used to a Hawksaw flinching you, a Grasping Malak flinching you, a Doctrine of Passing flinching you. But now you've got someone running up on you with a scout rifle who can touch you from way farther away than either of those other guns. And you're still getting flinched like crazy because the bullets just keep coming. They're really, really fast. You're going to be wanting to hit crits. The 1.4 second body shot time to kill with 7 body shots is not something you want to be hitting too much. But thankfully, it's actually got a pretty decent amount of aim assist. I think the base aim assist on the DIS-47 is 74. It's got a pretty high mag size at 20. It's got pretty high base stability too, I believe at 50 for a scout rifle, which is quite nice. Again, the things it lacks are range and a little bit of reload speed, but reload speed can be made up for very quickly, just by slapping a pair of gauntlets on there. And range, as I've said, with scout rifles, they don't have the damage drop-off that auto rifles do. They don't have the damage drop-off that hand cannons do. I mean, I'm telling you, on most of the maps, you're never going to be pushing that damage drop-off on scout rifles, even the lowest range ones. So I love the DIS-47. Highly recommend it to anyone who wants to play with it. It hits, if you remember what the Suros was like in year one before it was nerfed. It hits kind of like that. You see the 45 damage pop up every single time you hit the head, and it sounds like an auto rifle, a slow firing auto rifle. It sounds like maybe like a Grim Citizen or a Shadow Price with focus fire on it. So it's really, really cool. I really like that gun a lot.
Yeah, likewise. That gun does a lot of work for me in the Crucible. That's kind of my go-to scout. If I use a scout normally, that's the one. Although the way Mida was working for me recently, I guess I might be a convert. We'll see.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. DIS full auto is pretty much a necessity. It's very, very difficult for the trigger, like you said. My recommended role is perfect balance in small bore with full auto and either the SLO-19 or the SPO-28 sight. I think that's going to be the best mix that you can get between stability and range boosts. I don't like hand-laid stock, how much it reduces the range, because then you do feel the damage drop off.
Yeah, definitely one scout that I would not use hand-laid stock on is the DIS-47. Or for that matter, the Inward Lamp or an L-Shadow. I don't recall if it's on their perk tables, but I would not trade range off on probably on any of these high rate of fire scouts. They do still have a lot of range, but you don't really want to push yourself down into auto rifle, pulse rifle range on a scout. You want to keep that edge.
I think small bore is probably the best option, but I'm just saying, try it out with hand-laid stock. You don't know, you never know. You'll probably find that for the most part you're gonna be okay. But I do agree that I think small bore is the best option. It's got a giant ass magazine size of 20. All you're gonna do is knock yourself down to 18 with small bore, and you get a range boost, so number one, you don't have to worry about it all, and you get a decent stability boost. If you can pair that with something like perfect balance, you're probably freaking golden as far as it goes.
Yeah, I do have the perfect balance hand-laid stock roll, and I can't use it.
Oh, well, too stable for you is the problem, right?
Exactly.
He's compensating
I
for
just
recoil that's
I
not
try to
there.
compensate for recoil that isn't there.
Yeah, and you end up pushing yourself down into their feet, and then you feel bad about it because you're shooting a laser. Which, speaking of it, I was doing Challenge of Elders the other night, speaking of lasers, and I had equipped the sleeper simulant, and I forgot when I went into Crucible for my warm-ups today, and I had the sleeper simulant when I picked up heavy. And
It's
held
pretty
down
fun,
Y
isn't it?
and went to I thought I was switching to truth and whipped out a big ass fusion rifle and just started lasering people. I actually got two kills the first game, and I enjoyed it so much that I ran the next two games with it just for fun. I had to admit that that's a conversation for another podcast, but I legitimately very much enjoyed it. It felt like the Spartan laser from Halo.
Yeah, I used it on First Light, and it pretty much is the Spartan laser from Halo. I cross-mapped somebody on First Light.
I haven't gotten one of those lucky bounces that killed someone else, but I also haven't killed myself with an unlucky bounce, so I'm probably right in the middle. But it's only a matter of time. I definitely think I'm going to keep running it for a while. But yeah, so that's the DIS-47. The DIS-47 is probably the most common of these because I don't think the gunsmith has had a great full auto role in a while. But you know, he's here every week. He brings three options. You'll probably get a good one from him at some point in time if you just hold on to it. And then the other ones, the Inward Lamp, I actually don't t know too much about. I haven't ever gotten myself an Inward Lamp. Do y'all have any thoughts on that? I seem to remember the role not being fantastic that it comes with. I think it was okay, but I don't remember it being like really, really great or jumping out at me.
The Inward Lamp is ass.
There you
The
go.
base role
Literal ass.
has, it is, it has choice between OEG, OEG rifle scope, and focus lens FLA5, so terrible scopes. Full auto is the only redeeming factor that this gun has, and it is not enough. Your middle tree is fitted stock, rifle barrel, small bore, which with a base stability of 48, ain't enough. Speaking of base stability, your base stats are 60 range, 48 stability, 51 reload, 20 magazine size, 60 aim assistance, 20 equip speed, and 45 recoil direction. Keep that in mind. Your final perk choices are Hidden Hand, Zen Moment, Third Eye, Outlaw. Now, on a gun with decent stability, I would want Hidden Hand. This ain't that gun. So Zen Moment's the only thing that makes this tolerable, and it still sucks.
And it's got 14 less aim assist too than the DIS-47. So it's kind of like, eh, I think I'll pass.
Nothing to recommend it.
No, there really isn't. This is a terrible gun. Don't use it.
And you know, I hate all those sights too, which is what is kind of awful about it. Like, you know, if it had reflex on it, maybe I would be like, you know, I could go full auto, small bore, and I could do Zen Moment. That's not horrible. I mean, it's not gonna be two stability perks worth, but I mean, maybe you give me reflex, boost the aim assist a little bit, I might be able to do that. But no, it's like the best out of the, I mean, I hate the OEG scope. I don't know why, it's just ugly to me. The OEG rifle scope is cluttered, but like I guess you get the benefit of more zoom, so it gives you a little bit more range, but those are just bad options to me. And then they try to make it up for you with the last column. You get Hidden Hand, Zen Moment, Third Eye Outlaw. It's like, oh, well, those are all pretty nice perks, but if you pick one of them, you're going to lose out on something else. So it's not even really like you're rewarding yourself. You get Hidden Hand and you're like, well, now I have ass for stability. You get Zen Moment and you're like, well, now I have crap aim assist. So it's kind of like you just lose either way, but I'm not a fan of the Inward Lamp based on the amount of times I've seen them in the Crucible, which is closing in on two, I think. It doesn't look like anyone else is fans of them either.
I have played with the Inward Lamp. I regret it.
So I'd say definitely if you have a choice, go with the DIS 47. But you were talking earlier about loving the NL Shadow 701X.
I was. And if you look at the stat bar of the NL Shadow, you will not understand why. The stat bar is 55 range, 40 stability, 65 reload, 21 magazine size, which is the best out of all of them by one. 40 aim assist, which is trash, but bear with me. 80 equip speed, 80 recoil direction. So you've got the best recoil out of everything, which on its own is not enough to make up for 40 aim assist and 40 stability. So we move on. You have access to classic sights. The only low impact scout, other than the Inward Lamp with the focus lens FLA5, which is still the second best range scoped, so I'm not counting it. You have access to the OAS, which is the 14 boost to stability, not aim assist, and a 5 boost to aim assist. You have in the middle column explosive rounds. With the terrible base stability, I can understand wanting to get something like braced frame. However, if you roll explosive rounds on the NL Shadow, try it. This is the only low impact scout rifle that can roll explosive rounds, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, but explosive rounds are the big brother to high caliber rounds as far as flinch goes. Not only do they flinch much, much harder than high caliber rounds, they also, for a split second of frame, completely white out your opponent's screen. So explosive rounds really do absolutely annihilate the aim of whoever you just shot with them. They're not going to be returning accurate fire if you consistently land explosive rounds on them. It's at the cost of quite a bit of stability, so you're going to have to learn to control that recoil. But with the 80 recoil direction, it's possible. So even with those very, very underwhelming stats, you do have a good chance of really a great gun. And if you want to make up for those underwhelming stats, you can roll, like all classic scouts, Zen Moment and Hidden Hand to help make up for those weaknesses.
There you go. Doesn't seem as bad when you explain it that way, but the stat bars are definitely a little bit underwhelming just first looking at it.
Yeah, it's one of those guns that you might miss if you were just, if you were just looking at the raw stats. I think it is something that's worth giving a chance. I ran with one in year one quite a bit. I really enjoyed it a lot. And 40 aim assist is a little bit lower than what we kind of expect on a scout like this now. But I guess, I guess in all fairness, 40 is really not like terrible. You look at the high impact scouts that we're working with, maybe a 50, or the Casitas at 39. It's an acceptable level of aim assist. It's not impressive, but it does give you that little tiny bit of forgiveness where your reticle doesn't have to be perfectly placed on every shot. So if you're buying yourself time too with explosive rounds, I mean, no big deal if you're maybe missing a headshot here or there. You're gonna have that extra time that you need to, to punish that person basically. You're gonna be able to finish him off with an extra shot if you need to.
And now onto the last of the weapons in this archetype. It is not a legendary. It is an exotic. It's a Touch of Malice,
The
which is the
bad
raid exotic
touch.
from Keem's Fall. Yes, the Bad Touch, because it takes away a little bit of your health and a little bit of your soul every time you fire it, starting from the last round. So you never run out of ammo, which is very nice. But as you continue to fire, you chip away a little tiny bits of your health. It is just like the DIS 47 and the NL Shadow and the Inward Lamp up until that last round. The last round, it switches. It maintains the same rate of fire, but the damage profile goes up to the Hung Jury profile, where it does 61 damage per headshot and 41 damage per body shot. So it goes up by 11 damage per body shot, and it goes up by 16 damage per headshot. It actually makes a tremendous difference. It goes from needing 4 crits and 1 body to kill to only needing 2 crits and 2 bodies to kill, and it's still full auto with the exact same rate of fire as the other gun. It doesn't have a ton of aim assist, unfortunately, and it doesn't have a ton of stability, and it doesn't have a ton of range, and it doesn't have very fast reload speed. But the fact of the matter is that you can kill with 2 crits and 2 bodies at a very, very fast rate of fire. And would I recommend it in competitive Crucible? Probably not. Not unless you have the utmost confidence in your own abilities to dodge other people's shots. But as I was saying earlier, I used it with a Ram Warlock and a High Armor Titan and absolutely legitimately loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It is a great way to change up your gameplay. And I'm one of those people who I like to understand the meta and I like to, practice with the meta and use the meta, but then I get bored of the meta and I want to do new things. It's why I spent all of last week running with Telesto. It's why I spent all of this week running with the DIS 47. And I have, in weeks past, spent an entire week running with Touch of Malice. So I highly, highly recommend it, if not for the fact that you will literally get messages after the game like, "I can't believe you killed me with Touch of Malice." And I'll be like, "Not only did I kill you, but I got like 25 kills and, went pretty highly positive with the Touch of
That
Malice."
alone is worth
So
it.
feel bad about
That
that.
alone
Yeah,
is
feel
worth the
bad about that.
experiment.
But it is a pretty fun gun to use. But is it realistically competitive in PvP? No, not really. But take advantage of that fact. Nobody expects you to four shot them with a high rate of fire scout rifle. And the drawback is if you hit all four of your first shots, then it really doesn't take off that much health from you. You can still tank a couple of shots of that and be okay. So high recovery, high armor is obviously recommended. But that's a Touch of Malice. If you want to try something new, if you want to try something fun, go for it.
I think that is a great summary of the Touch of Malice in PvP.
One quick, yeah, did you know too, if you get, oh, I guess never mind, it's three kills. I always
Three
misremember
rapid kills.
Touch of Mercy. I always misremember that one. I guess if you happen to, triple down the opposing team in rapid succession, you'll gain some of that health back.
That would probably be one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I never did that in my time playing with it, but now that you bring that up, I think I have a new mission to try to get a triple down with Touch of Malice without dying and then to get my health recovered. So we'll see if that's the way it goes. But
There's your homework before Rise of Iron. Massive Breakdown listeners, if you're out there, send us your Touch of Mercy videos from PvP. Not PvE. We all know, we can go line up some dregs or some Vex and knock that out. Take it into the Crucible. Show us some magic. I want to see it.
And that's it for the Scout Rifle breakdown. I mean, we pretty much talked about everything. We kind of avoided the mid-impact class just because there's not much there. I feel like I do need to mention Tlaloc or Tlaloc or Tallylock or however it's pronounced. When overflow is active, meaning when your super is charged but you haven't used it yet, the time to kill drops down from 1 second to 0.83 seconds. So it's actually very, very fast. That's the reason why you do see Warlocks, especially Sunsingers, running Tlaloc and doing well with it. It's really, really hard to compete with it because you got to think it still only needs 2 crits and 2 bodies, but now it's shooting much, much faster. So if you are a Warlock and you do have that, definitely knock yourself out. It's a really, really good weapon. I know that some people will run Mida initially, wait till they get their supercharged, then switch over to it. If that's something you want to do, it is a legitimate strategy. It's kind of a hassle to me. I prefer not to do it, but it is a really, really, really good gun.
It's good to the point that it has been actually banned from competitive play. Sweaty lobbies and the such will not allow the class exclusive weapons. And that's pretty much down to Steelpiercer and Tlaloc, mostly due to the T Ward gun. So don't practice with it if you're trying to get into the competitive scene. It's not going to help you at all.
I guess they'd probably be okay if you wanted to run Fabian strategy.
If you really want to handicap yourself that badly, I think you should be allowed to,
I think so too.
because he will not be succeeding with that. And that's basically it for this breakdown. I don't think we have anything else except for I do have one thing that I forgot to mention earlier. You said the gun from the Prison of Elders, the scout rifle, the mid-impact one, the Lethe something.
Noblesse.
Lethe
Up
noblesse.
until yes, up until this point, I have always pronounced it the Lethe Noblesse. I don't know why I
Yeah,
assumed that was how it was pronounced, but I have always said, oh, I just got a Lethe Noblesse, and then sharded it immediately because it's useless. But
that's not what I'm going to call it. Thank you.
yeah, that's interesting. That apparently I'm probably pronouncing every single one of these freaking guns wrong, honestly, because I've, and embarrassing story, but when I read Harry Potter when I was a kid, I thought Hermione's name was Hermie One. I have this horrible, horrible thing where I like sound out the word and I'm like, that's what it is. So, Lethe Noblesse, I don't even want to try Tlaloc or Cocytus. Because someone told me the other day, they were like, oh, it's not Cocytus, it's Cocytus. And I was like, that's probably right, but I'm not going to pronounce it like that. It's Cocytus to me. So, Collivance, Cocytus, Doom of Chelchis, Saturnine Rapier. I'm sure I've got some of these right. I can't pronounce the N-word lamp wrong.
Yeah, I'm not interested in calling a gun cock something. That doesn't appeal to me. In fact, it leads to moments like I had earlier today on my stream. I was playing with a friend and we were carrying somebody. His name started with DIX, so we called him Dix. And it just so happened that at one point, Dix went down and I had to go revive him. And on my stream, in front of everybody that's watching on my stream and my buddy's stream, said, "Hey, I'm grabbing dicks.
I
I don't want more moments like this.
thought you were gonna
I'm
say
not
like,
calling
oh, I
it
just got dicks up, but
that."
nah, grabbing dicks is pretty good too.
Oh, man.
All right, good note to end the podcast
Yeah.
on there, right?
Yep.
Grabbing dicks is always a good note to end on.
Yep. Well, all right, guys, that
At
is it
least
for
Kit has
episode
his
eight.
pants on.
Kit has never once had his pants on. He's in a professional podcast studio, and he still doesn't have them on them this week. You know
I'm not
that.
standing up. Let's just leave it at that.
You're right. I have only seen you from the bottom of your shirt up.
And so it shall remain.
All right, time for the podcast to end.
Yep. All right, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. This was episode eight. We will be back next week with episode nine. We don't know what we'll be talking about yet, but I can assure you it will be something.
Of all the episodes that we're going to have, that will be one of them.
Very true. Very true. We've been doing this for 2 months. You guys realize that?
Wow.
This is the end of our second month
Two
of doing this
months.
podcast. Yeah.
And I still can't show up to recording on time.
Nope.
Happy second Minciversary, guys. There's your vocab for the day.
Right, well, thank you to everyone who tunes in and listens to us and puts up with what admittedly has probably been a pretty poor quality sound-wise podcast up until this point. But this week is when it all turns around,
That's
right?
it.
This is the week that our sound quality is high up there. It's perfect. I hope.
Crickets. No, yeah, definitely. Well, that's just impressive.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Wondering if Cougar has a pet cricket now.
I like to say I do this by vibrating my tongue.
Ladies out there, you heard Cougar has a special talent. All right, we have to end it now. We have to go. Goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
I'm leaving the room.
So wait, are we actually done now? Okay.